you know, letting them down. And I think they made the right move, and they're moving on now.
Does this change the way they go about evaluating players and the way they draft players in the future? Because Reuben Foster had plenty of red flags at the draft and at the combine. Do they have to now change the way they approach things as Lynch and Shanahan?
Well, yeah, of course. You always, you know, you try to get background research on these players and do all those things. Yes, he had some problems coming out of college. You know, they felt like maybe, you know, being a part of the San Francisco 49ers and what they're trying to implement, you know, it's all about, you know, standard, you know, brick by brick. You know, they felt maybe this guy, you know, he would be able to come in and fit in and change his behavior, but it didn't. And now, you know, they have to let him go, and they might be stuck with over $3 million if another team, if they don't pick him up. And I don't think another team is going to pick him up right now, you know, because there are some problems with this guy. He has some issues, and he has some baggage. So I don't think anyone else is going to stick their neck out and give him an opportunity.
Jerry, I agree with you. So let's get into the game. A guy who's been kind of the cornerstone, who was brought in for his leadership and for his bravado, and a guy who's had a pretty solid year when he's on the field. Richard Sherman, that is. Yesterday, it seemed like he struggled at times in pass coverage. What did you see taken away from that game?
You know, I saw a team that just could not, that could not take advantages of opportunities. And, yeah, he struggled a little bit. He got beat several times. A lot of guys, and I'm not pointing any fingers or anything like that. A lot of guys right now, they're going to feel like, okay, you know what, the season is over. Maybe we should just, you know, just maybe throw that towel in just a little bit. But the great leaders, and that's something that we always had with the San Francisco 49ers, would say, hey, look, you know what, guys, you know, we're going to continue to fight. We're going to continue to try to win football games. We're going to practice a certain way. We're going to conduct ourselves a certain way. So, you know, the team is going to have to just, you know, dig in and say, hey, look, you know, the season is still not over. You know, you're still going to – I think they got Seattle coming up. You know, that team is not going to all of a sudden say, hey, you know what, we're going to take it easy on the San Francisco 49ers. No, that's not going to happen. So you better get ready for that next battle. You better try to dig in, and you better somehow, you know, find a way to, try – to still win football games.
Jerry Rice joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Scouting is a very inexact science. We went through not only the last two drafts for Lynch and Shanahan, but we went all the way back to Bill Walsh. And for as great as and brilliant as Bill Walsh was, he missed on plenty of draft picks as well. And we started asking ourselves, is there a way to improve upon this process? So I go to the Niner website, and I see that they have about 10 individuals dedicated to college scouting. Now, this is normal. That's how most teams operate. But we're talking about 130 FBS schools, 124 FCS schools, 10 people tasked with tracking and scouting 254 universities. It makes me think, what if you invested some more money in the scouting? What if you were the first team to have a 20 or 30 man scouting department and really do it up? You could probably improve your percentage chances of success, don't you think?
Oh, no, without a doubt. You will improve your percentages. You know, but they only have about 10, and they're not going to be able to get around, you know, to all these schools. And, you know, there's a lot of diamonds in the roughs out there. And you just got to be able to go into those schools and sit down with those players. Those players are hungry. You know, they want to play football, and they're going to do everything possible. And, you know, because Bill Walsh, he gave me the opportunity to live a dream. And he was in New Orleans. And I tell this story all the time. They were getting ready to play the New Orleans Saints. And he noticed a game from that Saturday when I think we were playing someone, and he noticed me running across the television, making catches and putting points on the board. That's how, you know, I got selected to the San Francisco 49ers. But, you know, when you only got 10 guys, you're going to miss out on so many opportunities. And maybe they should invest more money and, invest more money into scouting, and that would give them a better opportunity of percentages.
Roughly 19,000 college players, by my account, according to Joe's math, with all the teams and 10 guys to see them all. It's nearly impossible. Jerry Rice here on 95.7 The Game. Just one more on Reuben Foster, Jerry. Do you see Reuben landing with another team maybe next year, or is his NFL career over now?
That's hard to say, but I think the most important thing right now is for this guy to get treatment. That's the most important. This is bigger than football right now, so he needs to somehow, you know, get treatment and then, you know, put football on the back burner for a little bit and just try to get himself right.
Jerry, you look around the league and you see the lack of productivity at the quarterback position. Bortles, you see where he's at. You look around different teams and you're like Miami, Tannehill. You just go through the league and there's a plethora amount of quarterbacks out there that really are underachieving. And then you look at a guy like Reuben Foster and you say, God, here's a guy maybe going to get another chance, Alden Smith. Is it interesting to see that No Collin gets another opportunity?
My thing is, Alden Smith, Reuben Foster, man, you talking about two guys that could bring it on the football field that was just exceptional, that could have gone down. And I'm going to say this about Alden Smith. He probably could have gone down as one of the best pass rushers ever to play the game. And, you know, there have been a lot of guys to come before him, but this guy had all the ability. And now he's not even in the game of football. Reuben Foster, the same thing. Attitude, you know, his physicality on the football field, what he brought to the team, he could have been really good also. But these guys got to realize that, hey, look, the most important thing is the team. You're not bigger than the team. And if you feel like you're invincible, you know, all of a sudden something is going to happen where maybe there's going to be something where you make a mistake or something like that. And the team is going to have to make a decision. Like I said, with the San Francisco 49ers, they made the right decision. It might have been a little too late because, you know, it's like when you give a guy three opportunities. You know, after the second one, you know, I thought that they were going to pretty much just let him go, but they decided to give him one more chance where they laid down some rules, and he didn't want to abide by those rules, and now he's out of the game of football.
Hall of Famer, three-time Super Bowl champ, 13-time Pro Bowler, and member of the 95.7 The Game family, the great Jerry Rice, with us here on 95.7 The Game. Jerry, we always appreciate the time. Thanks so much for coming on with us today. We look forward to catching up again next week.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Let's go Niners. Let's dig in no matter what.
You know it. Jerry Rice, ladies and gentlemen. Which leads me to an interesting question. Do you see them winning another game this year? Because the schedule is none too kind the rest of the way out. At Seattle, home against Denver, home against Seattle. Mm. And Seattle's cooking right now. That's a nice comeback against Carolina.
Cooking.
Home against the Bears.
The Bears.
At the Rams.
Rams.
Now think about that for a second, and then think about this. Do you even want them to win another game? They right now have the number one pick. If they just keep doing what they did yesterday, they will have the number one pick in the draft. And here's how the draft sets up at the moment. It's them, the Raiders, who may need a quarterback, and then you're going to work down, and I believe...
Arizona's there.
Arizona's two.
Yeah.
It's Arizona at three, the Jets at four, and then the Giants, Jaguars, and Bucks. Here's where this gets interesting. The Raiders could be in search of a quarterback. Arizona and the Jets are not. So, for the Giants at five, the Jaguars at six, and Tampa at seven, all could be in the market for a quarterback. If they see the Raiders at two searching for a quarterback, those three might be willing to trade up to number one.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to get a hell of a haul for that pick if you play this properly. So do you want to see him win any more games the rest of the way out? It's Jolo and Dibs back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game.
Don't miss the last game of the homestand as Bay Area native Aaron Gordon and the Orlando Magic come to Oracle looking to knock off the champs.
Off the screen, Durant for three. He's got it left side. Draymond Green with that high screen.
Coverage starts today with Warriors Live at 6. Tip off at 7:30 on the home of the NBA champs. 95.7. The Game. Joe Low and Dibs continues on Monster Monday. Brought to you by Oaks Card Club, FH Daily Chevrolet, and Benjamin Moore Paints.
Always stoked to have Jerry Rice on the show every Monday at 8 o'clock, who is presented by the 2019 U.S. Open Championship at Pebble Beach. Tickets available at usopen.com. Be there. If you want to weigh in, but you can't call us today, no worries. The Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. We will take some more of your calls, but we want to lay out a scenario now for the Niners. Yesterday was a disaster. 27-9, they were defeated by a very lousy Tampa Bay Buccaneers team and a quarterback in Jameis Winston who might not even be back with the franchise in the immediate future. Unfortunately for the Niners, that was just the second bad piece of news. It power ranked number two after Reuben Foster getting arrested yet again. Misdemeanor, domestic violence, he ends up booked, released. The video of him standing up in front of court in front of all the other people that were set to face the judge, just a new low, I would say. And as a result, the Niners announced yesterday that they are going to release Reuben Foster. You go out there, you lay the egg against Tampa Bay, and it gets me thinking. And this isn't necessarily the tanking conversation, but I genuinely am interested to know how many people want to see a Niners win. Here's what you're looking at right now if the season ends today. The Niners have the number one overall pick. The Raiders are in second. The Cardinals at three, the Jets at four, and then the Giants, Jaguars, and Buccaneers. Now, here's where this gets important. We talk all the time about how much talent this Niner roster needs. If you are sitting at one and the Raiders finish at two and the Raiders part ways with Derek Carr prior to the start of the new league year to save money on that deal, which is something they can do, they have an out, they are very clearly signaling that they will be looking for a quarterback in the draft. That is outstanding news for the Niners, because if the Raiders need a QB at two, the Giants at five need a quarterback, the Jaguars at six need a quarterback, and the Bucs at seven may need a quarterback. And those are just the closest in proximity. If everyone knows the Raiders need a QB, the best guy out there is going to be targeted by the Giants, Jags, and Bucs as well, which means John Lynch's phone is going to be ringing from these franchises looking to trade up. That could be the Carson Wentz or Jared Goff type haul. You slide back, you pick up multiple firsts for the future, you set your organization up long term if you're able to hit on the picks. And at the same time, you get to slap the Raiders for what they did to you in the Khalil Mack trade. You may ask, what? John Lynch, 49er general manager, joined us last week. We asked him about that Mack trade because he continues to talk about it in the sense that the Niners may have offered a better deal than the Bears. Take a listen.
I don't want to beat a dead horse, but we tried like heck to acquire Khalil Mack. That didn't work out. But you try by any means necessary to get it, but it's not easy. Guys that are free, they never become free because they're so coveted in this league. They're franchised typically, or they work out a new deal. So yeah. you have to be wise in the way you construct it in terms of free agency, but then the draft is the best opportunity to put game changing type players. Hopefully we're not in position. I never thought we would be, to be honest with you, in position to be picking super high. And we still have six games left. But that's where you find those players typically.
Now think about that. Think about that. He thought that they made a better offer than the Bears for Khalil Mack, but he goes on to say in another clip that it turns out he thinks there was more at play there, that the Raiders may not have ever been all that interested in sending Khalil Mack across the bay. So if the Raiders end at two and need a quarterback, and you've got all these other teams that want to trade up, you sitting at one, it is the perfect opportunity for payback, which I'm sure you're not really thinking about, but that really binds the Raiders. So at any point this season, do you want to see another Niners win? There's too much at stake here. People are going to say, you don't tank, you play to win. Well, after yesterday, yeah, that was, if that's your attempt at winning, I'm okay with tanking out the rest of the season.
You don't have to tank because you're terrible, and that's both sides of the bay. You're not tanking when you're just a bad team, and that's unfortunately where the 49ers are. You're playing your third-string quarterback. You're playing your second-string running back. You didn't have either of your top two receivers, who really aren't that great to begin with. No disrespect intended to Pierre Garçon or Marquise Goodwin, but the drop-off wasn't that great yesterday. So that's the good news if you're a 49er fan, is you don't have to kind of hope that they mail it in because you're not very good. You mentioned two games with Seattle. You've got the Rams on the schedule as well in a game that could be very meaningful for LA. You've got tough spots up and down the schedule, but if you're a Niner fan, no, you don't want to see any victories. 2-14 will sting, but if it results in you having the number one pick for the first time since Alex Smith, then that's a good consolation prize.
At Seattle, home against Denver, home against Seattle, home against the Bears, at the Rams.
Yeah, I don't see them winning a game, even if, and I was one of those guys that said, oh, they can win this game, possibly. But now if you saw what they you saw yesterday, they're not going to win a game. They really aren't. Even if the Rams have clinched and they're not going to play guys. John Lynch, have you heard John Lynch? He said, we don't tank, but he said, when you're not playing well, he goes, you want to see guys play. So if you listen at that statement, that's very nice. Saying, look, okay, we're not tanking, but you know what we want to do? We want to see what we have in the younger guys. At that particular time, I pulled Richard Sherman and said, you know what, Sherman, we're going to give you your incentive. I know you wanted this game. If you play this amount of plays, this is what you're scheduled to make. We're going to give it to you because you've been a good soldier. I sit him. For what? Why would I risk Richard Sherman getting hurt against the Rams when I'm not playing for anything? Why?
Well, let me lay out the scenario. So if you lose every game the rest of the way out, you're at Seattle this weekend, double-digit underdogs.
Lost.
You're going to be home against Denver, which Denver's got some bad coaching. I could see the Niners breaking right in that game. I'm just saying. I don't think it happens, but it could. Then you're going to host Seattle, who's very much alive for a wild card spot. Then you're going to host the Bears, who are going to be trying to win the NFC North.
Right.
Then you're going to be at the Rams. Now, in week 17, the Rams have the afternoon game against the Niners. Dibs looked it up in the break. Before that, the Saints will be hosting Carolina. So if neither team loses the rest of the way out, if the Saints win in the early game against Carolina, that's it. The Rams won't be able to grab the one seed, which means likely they would sit their stars and the Niners could have a chance to win. But if it's week 17 and a loss to the Rams is the only thing that stands between you and the number one pick, do you even consider trying to win that game?
No, and that's why I said I sit Richard Sherman. If I'm in that week 17, and even if the Rams said they know they're the number two seed and they're not playing anyone, I tell Richard Sherman, you're sitting. I tell Daly, I say, you know what, big boy? You're sitting. I'm not playing you. For what? Why am I going to get why would I jeopardize getting you guys hurt? I need you guys for next year. You guys have been a staple. I'm giving you guys a day off. I pulled my starters, Joe, without a doubt. I don't play him. I look at Buckner. He already made the Pro Bowl. He's already got his incentives. I pull him. I want to see the young guys play. I'm not going to throw those guys out there. For what? When I can get an overhaul, like you said, the Raiders may be in the mix for a quarterback. You know the Giants are. Tannehill, you see what Miami's doing. There's a lot.
Miami's doing what Miami does every year.
Exactly.
They are the most consistent team in the NFL.
Absolutely. So if you're looking at those situations, you're like, how many teams are going to be willing to give an overhaul, give a boatload of picks to the San Francisco 49ers? This could set your organization up because you know the Raiders are going to need a quarterback. You know the Giants are going, Eli, he's done. The book of Eli, it's closed.
Got to be done with Eli.
Oh, yeah, yesterday. You have a minute and 20 left before halftime. You have a chance.
There's 10 seconds left, coach, before halftime.
Yeah, shout out Lowe versus Dibs.
Yeah, you friggin' throw Barkley's wide open in the flat. field goal range. You have a chance to be up by, I don't even want to talk about it. So Eli's gone. Egg shoe, beat it. So you got to look at how many of these teams are going to be in the need for a quarterback. A
lot of them.
They will give up a boatload. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan in this draft is going to have a big opportunity to make hay. So without a doubt, Joe, I don't want to see them win anymore.
And the beauty of this, Lowe, is that they can do exactly to the Raiders what they felt like the Raiders did to them, which is drive up the price for a trade scenario, because the Raiders don't have one. They don't have two. They have three first-round picks. So if you're sitting at number one and the Raiders are sitting at two or three, and I believe with the tiebreaker, the Raiders are three right now because they beat Arizona, and so they have the same record, so they're actually picking third. But the Raiders have the third pick, and they have two others. So if they really, really want a quarterback and they want to jump up to number one and deny those other teams, you can tell the Raiders, look, you give us your other two first-round picks, and we'll go ahead and let you slide up two picks. And then you take that information and you leverage the other teams against the Raiders, much like the Raiders leveraged you against the Bears and the Khalil Mack.
Even if they don't call you, you lie anyway. Yeah, the Raiders are offering this. I mean, you know they've got the assets, and they don't want to get beat on this quarterback. You know, whether it's Will Greer from West Virginia, Kyler Murray, who looked awesome the other night from Oklahoma. A's fans have to be a little bit worried about that one. Oklahoma might find its way into the college football playoff.
And the A's might find their way out of their first-round pick, Kyler Murray,
who might
give back the 7-0. And then,
so you think that he's going to forego baseball and stick to football?
Lock it up. It's an easy lock.
That's going to sting.
Can we mark the tape on that?
The A's are in trouble. They're like, why is this guy? Lock it up again.
He can move. He's really fast.
You talk about RPOs. You're talking about all this stuff, how the league is going. You're talking about turning the Big 12. Who's better fit? I mean, he's elusive. He can throw the ball.
RPO instead of RBI for Kyler Murray?
Absolutely. Yeah,
there's that. There's Will Greer from West Virginia can do it. There's the kid, I can't remember his name, from Duke, who's starting to get a lot of attention. You know, being coached by David Cutcliffe is huge, because Cutcliffe used to work with the Manning brothers in the offseason. Eli stock is
Justin Herbert, Oregon, plummeting?
Not sure if he's coming out. The thing. Some people think he might go back and try to build up the stock another year. Maybe he's not as great as everyone was anticipating. I saw him in that Cal game. He looked like he's got it all, but
he's big,
we'll
he's tall.
If he wants to come out, it'll be there for him.
Yeah, but I'm telling you,
Daniel Jones is the name of Duke. Yeah, that kid, be on the lookout.
A's are in trouble. A's are in trouble. This kid is a phenom. He's a talent. He can throw the ball.
He's like 5'10". You're not worried about that.
Look at this, Drew Brees. He's 6 foot. And he's able to throw the ball with such accuracy and all the different things. This game, you keep talking about the Big 12 and whatever. No, it's heading that way. Look at even when Baltimore.
I told you, son. Listen when I speak.
Look at Baltimore.
Write it down and commit it to memory. And then when you go on TV with everybody, you use it for yourself.
Yeah, just use it.
Stop talking.
I mean, seriously, Gibbs. I mean, I'm not paying any mind to him right now.
Right, but you literally just admitted that you were laughing, and then it turned out I was right again.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting.
It's not interesting. It's just factual.
It's very factual. The league is changing.
All right, so this is the scenario. Now everyone's going to say, "Well, you play to win. You got to play to win these games. Play to win what? They tried to win yesterday. It was terrible. It was a terrible effort. I don't know what was happening down on the goal line. What was the score in that situation? It's 13-6. So you're down 7. You lose the review on first down, so it's going to be second and goal from the 1. You run it with Breida. You don't challenge. You try to sneak it with Mullins. You don't get in. Then you challenge. I firmly feel that that was a panic move on behalf of Shanahan. I think he realizes he should have challenged Breida on second, didn't, so he panicked and challenged Mullins on third. Didn't get it, and then on fourth, they jump offside. Now, here's the problem. You move back to the 6. Why are you kicking the field goal? You're still down a touchdown. It's 13-6. You need a touchdown and an extra point to tie. You kick the field goal. You still need a touchdown. Another field goal is going to put you down 1. Go for it. Well, what do you have to lose? What happens if you don't get in?
They've got the ball at the 6.
You lose like you do almost every week this season. Get aggressive. Start working on these scenarios so that the team is ready for them when they matter. You came out on 4th and jumped offside and then just said, I will kick the field goal. Why? Why? The field goal did you no good. You weren't in a game where field goals were going to win. Tampa went right down the field and scored again, and that was it. Checkmate. Like you coached yourself out of that game. It's okay now to make the mistakes because you're not competing for a playoff spot. But this stuff's got to get cleaned up. And if it's not going to get cleaned up, that's fine. But you might as well have something to show for it. Now, here's the natural counter that I'm sure is out there everywhere. What does it matter if they have the number 1 pick? What does it matter if they trade back? They miss on all these picks anyway. I would rather have more poker chips than less, given the fact that this is an inexact science, and given the fact that teams miss on players all the time, and every team in the NFL misses on players all the time. Wouldn't you want more poker chips than less? You're playing the odds, and these are the guys doing the drafting, you would rather have more picks and more assets than fewer, whether they miss or not. The more poker chips you have, the more bets you can make, the more chances you can take. That's exactly what the mindset needs to be. And it stings because everyone wants to see a win. Who cares at this point? Who cares? Yesterday stunk. Did anyone enjoy watching that to the end? I went through this. Was that the worst loss of Shanahan's tenure?
It very well could be.
Think about it. I came up with a few that I put in there. There were 2 Arizona losses this year that were brutal. That first one at Levi's was pretty brutal.
That might be the worst one.
You had better stats across the board, but you got beat on like 2 key plays, and you lost the turnover battle, by 5? Mm-hmm. You lost 28-18 there. The Arizona game on the road, you had it late, and you lost it 18-15. Tough loss, but you were in it. You had a chance to win. You got blown out by the Rams 39-10, but that's happening to a lot of teams. You go back last year, got beat by Dallas 40-10 in week 7, got hammered by Philadelphia 33-10 in week 8, the game where like Staley got his face broken and all these other injuries occurred. That was an ugly one. That Tampa Bay one ranks right up there. That might be the worst of the season, in my opinion. I mean, that was a small point spread, not even barely a field
coming
goal.
Off a bye week against a team that is broken. Offensively, no team has given it away more than Tampa Bay, yet you couldn't take it away. You've got more than a quarterback controversy in Tampa. You've got two QBs, both of whom are going to be gone. Jameis Winston, a guy who was suspended and benched, he was one bad half away from being pulled again, yet you made the guy look like a Heisman Trophy winner. And offensively, you mentioned that sequence down on the goal line. I think that when they went for it on third and they didn't get it, they didn't know what play they wanted to run, and that's why they challenged it. They were going to call timeout anyway, but you're right. They probably should have challenged the previous play because the previous play had more of a chance at being overturned. But the one that sticks with me the most is, fine, you challenge it, you don't get it, it's fourth and goal from the 1 foot line, and you go false start. And not only one guy false started, but like five guys false started. After 3 minutes to talk over what you're going to do, and then you go out and false start, I said out loud to the people I was with, Lo, attention to detail.
Yeah.
Because that's what you always preach, and that was a great example of them not being attentive to detail.
Arizona's a bigger loss to me because you're playing at home.
Which one? That first one where they were really one, sloppy?
Sloppy. You're at home. All those yards.
Five turns.
That's the worst one. Winston, you're not for sure if he's going anywhere. But if you look at the Patriots, you look at Jacksonville, you look at Oakland, you think about Baltimore, you look at Washington, you look at New York, you think about Tampa, Miami,
and
Denver.
It's a lot of looking and thinking.
Miami, all these teams are maybe in the quarterback race.
New England. He does look like he's slipping.
Not in the first round, though, Coach. He's not going to.
Okay. Boy, slipping.
He's getting. I mean, the guy's 41 years old. Let me tell you something. If there's a quarterback in the first round, New England's getting him. Have you guys to sit here and think that, oh, I'm just going to stay with Tom for what? For what?
That's just interesting to hear you say it.
But they're not going to come up to number one to take a quarterback.
I'm just saying.
If
you look at Jacksonville.
We're all just saying.
Right.
That's a ludicrous notion to think that they're going to trade up to number one and take a quarterback.
They're not going
to
trade. Need to go that far.
We do, because he's talking about all these teams that need a quarterback, and he mentioned New England. They're not going to use a first-round pick, and they're not going to trade up to one to take a quarterback.
You want to lock that up?
I do want to lock that up. I want that on the record.
I hope they take a quarterback at 26, and we can revisit this.
F8
no one remembers.
Mark the tape.
Oh,
exactly in April.
Yeah, in April we're yelling. People are like, what's wrong with these
You schools? Guys would be – I would not be surprised if New England in the first round took a quarterback.
Okay.
But anyways.
I do think there's something to that.
Denver, yes. Miami, Tampa. There's a New York.
Denver needs one.
Washington Redskins. You can't sit here and say they're not going to necessarily go. I know they signed your boy.
Well, broken Alex's leg is a mess. I mean, he's not. They talked about how bad that injury is. Bone popping through skin. It takes a while to get that thing back and running. He should never play again.
And he was the first pick in the 05 draft, Coach. That's now going to be 14 years removed. God. That's... Yeah, I'm with you. I think that might be, sadly, the end.
That number one pick is the type of pick. If you look at what all those teams got for moving back when the Rams came up, when the Eagles came up, there is so much value. You can set ones for the future. You can flip ones for twos and threes. You can get...
I'm telling you.
The thing is, I know they haven't drafted well, but I'd rather have more shots than less.
I'm with you.
Give me more poker chips. I'll be able to fire away.
I'm telling you, I'm with you. I think that there's going to be a lot. There's going to be some gray horse, some teams out there. You think, oh, it's just the Giants. Everyone thinks it's just Giants and Tampa. I think there's going to be some teams out there. I really believe.
Jacksonville's got to make a playoff
quarterback. Hell yeah, bro.
They were in Buffalo. They don't even throw it. They don't trust them to throw it. Right. They just ran every down.
And they were
getting it done until Fournette got thrown out of the game. That team is a mess. They have lost the locker room because of the quarterback situation. They made a bet on Bortles. They totally blew it. They've got to move on. But all these teams sitting behind the Niners, if you are sitting
in a great situation,
you can sit back and just open up the phone lines, and you are open for business for months jockeying for position. Someone will come up and pay a fortune for that pick.
Niners are in a
unbelievable. And you need everything except QB. So you trade back, you get a corner, a pass rusher, whatever. It could be good, but you can't screw it up by winning one of these games.
You can't.
If you are in the driver's seat for this. People get angry, but again, that Tom Sula pick. Remember that damn week 17 with Tom Sula against the Rams when they won that stupid game. None of you saved the ticket stubs from that. Yeah. None of you framed the game program from that. Yeah. You know what ended up happening?
Yeah.
It set the Rams up with a better pick so that they were able to use less of their arsenal to move up to get Jared Goff.
Yep.
Right? All this stuff matters. I know you play to win the game. I know drafting isn't an exact science. Blah, 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 blah. I'd rather have that number one pick than I would the three pick. What's the extra win going to get me? I mean, you're really excited about beating Denver in 2 weeks?
who gives you a better chance to win, and does that determine how you go forward than if it's C.J. Beathard or Nick Mullins? Because there's talk that they don't know who's going to start this Sunday.
Oh my God.
Which direction would you go? That's a conversation for further in the week as we get closer to more Niner football. Don't miss a snap of it here on 95.7 The Game. But which direction do you go now? You see Nick Mullins starting to struggle low. You mentioned it earlier. Three-step drop. He's holding it. He took undue pressure. He made ill-advised throws. Do you go back to C.J. Beathard? What do you do at the quarterback position?
It doesn't matter.
I think you just ride this out. Yes. And the second Mullins looks like he's about to make some plays, you get him out of there.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. I mean, there's no reason to go. Look, the one thing you don't want is anyone getting hurt. That's it. You just want to avoid injuries. Guys like Breida, like you said, Staley, Sherman, you're all competitors. We love you all. You have had remarkable careers. But right now, this is about more than finishing with three wins and the sixth draft pick. Like you got business here.
I'll make you guys a bet right now. There will be three starters on that team will not play week 17. With the Niners, the way they're playing, if they continue to lose in that last game, I guarantee Richard Sherman won't play. I bet you Staley won't play. I'd be surprised as Breida play.
And Buckner, too, maybe.
I'm not playing them. Buckner's not going to play. Watch. I guarantee
you. And they've already said that they're going to start playing a lot of the younger guys, and you saw it yesterday. Richie James, and you saw the running back.
Williams.
Julian Taylor, the kid from Temple, the seventh rounder.
Play.
He's been inactive for every game. Get him in there.
Let's see what he's got.
Give him an opportunity.
Play those guys. And that's what Shanahan, he's not going to play to lose, but you're going to say, you know what? I'm taking my talent off the field. I want to see what I got with the young guys. Your season's over. What the hell are you playing these great guys for? I'm not playing Richard Sherman that last week.
Listen,
no.
Right now.
You're in a great situation.
If you're Lynch and Shanahan coming off this Reuben Foster situation, whether or not you're on the hot seat per se, some people say yes, some people say no, the optics are not good. People are losing faith in the direction of the organization. Now, that's what happens in our impatient society.
Yeah.
People aren't going to give you 5 years to put together an 8-8 team. People are bummed out that this was supposed to be a playoff year, whether that was founded in logic or not. Garoppolo went down and the whole thing spiraled away. Now you're going to release Reuben Foster. Your drafting over the last couple of years looks miserable. You've got to start winning the PR battles. And one of the ways to do that is that if you end up with that number one pick and you end up flipping that for a ton of assets, that is easy to sell. It is easy to sell to the public. Look, we have so many holes on this roster. We need to build up talent. This was the best move for the future of this organization. You move back,
yeah.
You still end up bringing in an impact player. Maybe it's at 7, 8, 9, whatever, because you need help everywhere.
You do.
You can take a great offensive lineman. You can take a pass rusher, a corner. You need help everywhere. Trade back, bring in all the assets. You can start rounding out this roster with cheap, young, durable talent.
Yep.
That way, at least people can get behind and go, all right, that's a nice move. We got big haul for that number one pick. And because we don't need a quarterback, we have Garoppolo. That was the right play. That's how you start to win back the fan base on this.
Yeah, thing. And Dib's talking about the seats warmed up now. He turned the seat. At least he said to put the warm.
Dib's got that medium.
Yeah, that's it low, actually. It's not even a medium.
Low.
Yeah, the setting's at low.
For the first time,
you can see that the seat is warmer than what is on top of the seat for the first time.
It's like Ray Liotta and Goodfellas, the gravy, as the Italians call it, which is the spaghetti sauce.
I like it.
All day long, just marinating, all day long, just a nice low simmer.
And now you guys kind of see why I was talking in that pew in that church is saying maybe 18 to 20 for Jimmy. Because now you're seeing, okay.
No, I still don't see that.
Well, you know what? That's what he's going to make next year. So maybe you were right ahead of time. Because what do you make, 40 this year and the front-loaded deal?
They paid him over 40.
Next year it's going to be closer to 18 to 20.
But you see, now if you did what I say, tag the guy, now what's his value now? You see what I'm saying, though?
Okay, if you tagged him instead, and then he gets hurt, now he's not going to get a deal from you. Now everyone's going to say that number one pick needs to be used on a quarterback. So what do? Do you ride with Garoppolo or do you use the number one pick on a quarterback?
But see, now
you got a mess on your hands.
Not really. Because now you still.
That's what it sounds like to me.
No. Wait just a minute. And now you would have got him cheaper and you still had that number one pick and now you can give him the illusion. I want this quarterback. Now people are more hesitant to even give you even more for him. You got your guy. This is your guy.
That's a sound team building strategy. Let's hope the guy blows his knee out and you get him for cheaper.
Hindsight is 50-50, though, as you well know.
It wasn't hindsight.
It was you being cheap.
I was.
No, what it is now is you're piling on. You're piling on a guy with a torn-up knee who can't defend himself.
Whoa.
Guy can't even limp to the phone and call in. Although, Jimmy, I know you're listening. 888-957-9570.
Jimmy, I was not.
Do you, line. Jimmy? Do you? We look forward to seeing you next year. I don't know. I can't speak for Lowe, but the rest of us are hoping for a speedy recovery.
Lowe's got a quick hook on him, poor guy.
Lowe's trying to take your money from you, which is strange considering Lowe's always been pro-player when it comes to money.
Never tried to take any money from Jimmy. I just wasn't trying to give him the world yet because I didn't see enough. That's all I was saying, guys.
Maybe you could have got him to sign for the veteran minimum
I said $18 million is not enough. That's not a bad amount.
Everyone's
of money.
Making 18. 18's nothing.
He's everyone. I'm not willing
Bradford,
to put him.
Bradford got 18 million this year.
He's
coach.
Everyone.
Though. Chase Daniels probably getting close to 18. Poor guy finally got to play.
I know. I didn't want to see him. He's my favorite player of all time. He goes out there. He wins the game. Chase Daniel. He can't stop him.
No.
You hope to contain
you
him.
You can't even contain
straight
him.
Straight win. Matthew Stafford, meanwhile, you gave him the world. And nice to. That was a great pick six right there.
Yeah.
Puke.
Garbage.
Shout out beat the bookie at Detroit and Washington.
That's another guy.
Shout out Low versus Dibs. That was on the lines.
Not a single guy in here loves Stafford.
Dibs has liked Stafford. And I said,
you're
Stafford
wrong.
Has
you're
been
wrong
a bum.
You're out of line.
I told you guys, the guy can throw the ball around. He puts all these numbers up, using when they're losing. Stafford's a bum. The guy is not a great quarterback. Oh, no, he's done this, all these numbers.
I don't think anyone ever said he was a great quarterback. Even
show
him.
Me some
Daniel,
tape.
Get the tape.
Don't point that crooked
Daniel,
finger at me.
Daniel
you tried to give Kevon Looney $14 million a year. Yes, we're going to go back to that.
A bit of an exaggeration.
Yeah.
But still, trying
right.
to get about seven.
5 to 7. I said 5
see,
to 7.
See, keeps getting
five.
Lower as we get.
Don't,
not 5.
Don't you dare try
not
to slide 5 in there.
Not 5.
7 was your number, I believe. Lucky
yeah,
number 7.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not 5.
You want Stafford. Pay him $150 million. Okay, anywho.
Oh, yeah, I've always said that.
All right, we're a bit lost. Let's reel
Let's
it all
back,
back in.
This draft, the San Francisco 49ers has a chance to change the organization. They really do. Change the players. And by being in this number one position, you give your team the best opportunity. Joe, I like what you're talking about, the poker chips. Having more chips usually can lead to more options. And so I really believe that they should, and I think they will, even if they continue to try to win, they will lose the remaining of the games this year, and they are going to be in a pretty good spot. John Lynch is going to have all the chips. He's going to have everything at his fingertips. It's going to see how is he going to be able to manipulate other teams. You know, those other teams are out there, the Tampa Bays, the New York Giants, to say, how bad do you want this quarterback and what are you willing to do? They're in a great position.
Jim in Kentfield. Jim, thank you for the phone call. Welcome to the show. The floor is yours.
Hi. First of all, hi, Dibs. You coached all my kids, so they all went to your camp. Hope you've been well.
Thank you, Jim. Yes, your kids were spectacular. Tell them
no,
hi for
they
me.
They were. They were. I won't give you their names. I think you guys ought to check out. I think if the 49ers and the Raiders both lose out, the Raiders going to have the number one pick because all the current rankings that show the 49ers number one, it's based on their right now having a weaker schedule than the Raiders to date. But I think that flips by the end of the year based on the schedules that remain. I think I've read that somewhere. You got to check it out.
All right. We appreciate that. Thank you very much for the phone call. And that is true. The first tiebreaker, I believe, is strength of schedule. So right now it's in favor of the Niners, but the rest of the way out, two games against Seattle, game against Chicago, Denver, and the Rams. Those are good teams. But don't you want it to be is it the harder strength of the schedule or is it the weaker? The weaker gets the higher because they're more pathetic.
Yes.
For putting up a crappy record against a pathetic strength of schedule.
That's the way you have to remember.
Enter
it's backwards.
The Oakland Raiders. You'll hear from John Gruden today in about an hour at 9:45.
Oh, wow. So Raiders
were close to covering that point spread, and then there was a 5-minute window where they were getting blown out. It was unbelievable. Every double-digit underdog got beat, and all of them failed to cover. Every double-digit favorite covered the spread this weekend. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is crazy because if the Raiders get first pick, you know what they're going
to
do.
They got to go out and get someone like Khalil Mack.
It's hard to find a pass rusher.
Yeah. It's tough to get a pass rusher out there.
Yeah,
so,
it's
you know,
brutal.
The Bosa kid would be fantastic for them.
Yeah.
You get 3 good years out of him before you inexorably have to trade him.
Yeah.
You know.
Let's not go down this well.
Yeah, I know.
It's been a while. Let's go ahead.
Just real quick. Quick drive-by.
You know what? I got something for you that
Please.
If you want to stay on that. Let me ask you something. Biggest bummer storyline for Bay Area sports this calendar year. Because we're at the end of the year, so all these superlatives and awards are going to be coming
out. I saw this in the email thread. This is a great question.
Biggest bummer storyline of the year. Number one, the Garoppolo injury. Number two, Reuben Foster. Number three, Durant and Draymond Green. Number four, the end of the Giants dynasty, the official end, because they have now made it official. Number five, the Gruden Khalil Mack debacle. I'm not going to throw anything in there with the A's because they went to the playoffs. They had a nice season. I don't think there was anything A's related.
The wild card game let down.
Right. I mean, you lost the Yankees on the road.
Severing
nice
too
season.
Much. Yeah.
It's a nice season.
We had a nice watch party and we're on to Cincinnati.
those five storylines, I don't know if I'm missing anything. The Sharks, the earthquakes all around had just a tough
that
season.
That egg they laid in Vegas the other night, 6-0 to the Golden Knights.
Yeah, so you have
that on there.
That as well, but I don't know if any of it fits here, but or at least on this mount. But here are your five. The Garoppolo story, the Reuben Foster situation, Durant versus Draymond, the end of the Giants run, the official end, and the Gruden-Mack debacle. What was the biggest bummer storyline of the year?
I'm sorry, Logan. Go ahead.
If you'd like to jump in, feel free.
Please.
Yeah. Everyone, feel free to weigh in. Boys in the back, I haven't heard from you. Nice guy. I haven't even talked to you since we got in today. We didn't even ask each other how our Thanksgivings were. It's very strange.
When the dust settles, it's going to be what John Gruden's did with this Raiders. And it's not just Khalil Mack. It's Amari Cooper, too. And when you think about that future.
Bruce Irvin, too. Throw him in there
I'm
as
calling
well.
It basically the Raiders debacle.
Exactly.
This year was supposed to
right.
be something, and it's
right.
just this train wreck.
Without a doubt, that's what it will
you
be.
You think the biggest bummer storyline is the Raiders.
The Raider debacle. The Raider
Anna?
Debacle.
I'm actually going to go with the Jimmy Garoppolo story. While Reuben Foster is more emotionally heart-wrenching, I think Jimmy Garoppolo, you had so much faith in this team. You had everybody thinking this is going to be a team going back to the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, biggest bust. And looking now they're for number one pick. They're, you know, that I think that's the biggest bust for the year.
Dims?
Garoppolo is number one. The Gruden debacle is two. And then Reuben Foster. And then the Giants end. And the KD Draymond thing is just
KD
pure.
Draymond's last?
Yeah. It's if it happened in early April, it might be first. But it's November, Coach. They got time to work through this. And you know what?
But if they don't, it's the end of the dynasty.
Yeah, but I'm going to say that they do work through
right.
it. If I project this forward, I don't project this forward as breaking to the point that the dynasty doesn't continue on this year. So I'm going to put that fifth because of where it happened on the calendar.
And that's
why
the Raider debacle is bigger than Jimmy G. Jimmy G, what was he doing, Joe? What did he win you this year? He won one A game.
The Garoppolo injury sucked the life out of the season. And we all projected 1-3 to open the year.
Yeah.
You're going to go to Minnesota and lose. It happened. You were going to come home and beat the Lions. Or wait, that was the Lions, week three?
Yeah. It was week two.
So they were 1-1. Then they went to Kansas City and lost, and he got hurt. And then, you know, whatever week four was, that was going to be a loss as well. That was the Chargers.
Yep.
Pretty much all of us projected 1-3. So that happening 1-3, healthy or not, we saw that coming.
I think it sucked
the
life. But
then the schedule, that destroyed the season.
I think it sucked the life out of, I get what you're saying, but they didn't have the talent, guys. This team, we said they were going to win 6-7 games. It wasn't like 5-6 games. It wasn't like we gave them that they were just going to be a playoff.
But now it's
but that
two.
That was you. That wasn't everyone. You were a little bit more realistic. There were a lot of people that saw them going to the playoffs. Vegas had the over-under at 8.5.
Yeah.
A lot of fans were thinking the playoffs could be possible. Fans aren't rational. They got very excited about this. They had little to get excited about with this franchise for years. And suddenly after closing, 5-0 to end the season last year, people were thinking this could be something special.
At least threaten 500.
Okay.
Nobody expected it to be this bad.
Okay.
Well,
I'm with you guys. Like he missed 2 weeks with
okay.
a shoulder.
I'm with you guys. I understand that part. But let me tell you, who's going to have a better career? Who's going to go more Pro Bowls? When you think about these two guys, Khalil Mack is a proven commodity. This guy is still one of the best passers this game has ever seen. And so I'm thinking when you talk about the Raider debacle and all the things that's going surrounding it, freaking everyone
it was
said,
a bummer. Damn.
No, and it is a debacle.
I mean, it destroyed that season before they could even take the field. At least the Niners got a couple losses.
At least you got a couple, and you're like, okay. And we got to see this team still. You already lost McKinnon. So you already knew this team was whatever. You said, okay, he's going to hold them together. They're just going to be an average team. But you had, and now you have another guy. Now you look at Amari Cooper. Guy had almost darn near 200 yards. This thing is Gruden's legacy. You got to give a guy $100 million for 10 years. And you, this guy has shredded your team. You're talking about, think about all the things that's surrounding this. You're talking about now a franchise quarterback that may be out the door.
He was getting killed at the end of that game yesterday, too.
He was think about
Pinata
what this
time
Pinata.
Back there. No candy coming out, though.
The official said, come out, sit him out.
Nice guy. Biggest bummer storyline of the year for Bay Area sports. The Garoppolo injury, Reuben Foster, KD versus Draymond, the official end of the Giants' run, or the Gruden-Khalil Mack Oakland Raider debacle?
Well, my Raider fandom is going to take precedent here, and number one for me is easily the Raiders and just how Gruden has handled
everything. What's the least on the list? Do you put KD Draymond all the way down at the bottom like Dims?
I'm going to put... put I'm going to be out with Dims on this one. I'm putting KD and Draymond at the bottom. And number four, I'm putting the Giants. And three, Reuben Foster.
I don't believe I asked for 4-3 or 2, but thank you so much for giving my opinion. Anyway,
it was a confirmation sensation of my take with a difference being the top two. And I'm not so sold on this Raider thing, low, because we knew they were going to have a bad year anyway. And the fact that he spun off Cooper, he spun off Khalil Mack.
That was another one where, you know, there were some, like Bill Simmons, that projected a bad year for the Raiders, but there were others that Gruden got people hyped up coming in.
I was hyped.
He was supposed to really get Derek Carr back on track.
I thought that the Raiders would have a better year than the Niners. I thought that this team, if you look at it, you have three Pro Bowl guard, center, and two guards Pro Bowl.
That
all pro.
A little off.
You have your guard, left, right, left guard, right guard,
there
both of them Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
You have a center center Hudson, arguably one of the better centers in the league. You have three guys that were pillar. That was friggin' arguably one of the most expensive offensive line in the National Football League. Still had a pretty dominant runner in Marshawn Lynch. You still had Amari Cooper, and then you went on and got a Jordy Nelson, who proven receiver. You have a tight end that's looked at the tight end and said, okay, he's pretty good.
What a catch yesterday, too, by the way. That back shoulder by the pylon.
And then you had a three-headed monster. You're talking about running backs? So when you look at this, you said, okay, this team can compete now. Now you're talking about Mac and all those guys back? I thought this team would play better.
Cody, the producer. Biggest bummer storyline of the year. Garoppolo, Reuben Foster, KD versus Draymond, the end of the Giants run, or the Gruden-Oakland debacle?
I'm going to take the James Garoppolo injury. I mean, that just took, like you said, it took the life out of the entire season when he went down against the Chiefs. And look how we're at now. We're talking about them tanking. I put the Raiders implosion as the least depressing, because as a fan of tanking, tanking's the way to go. And we've seen it work in sports. So I commend both Bay Area teams for tanking this season.
Yeah, but Gruden's not getting up at 4 a.m. to tank.
Yeah.
He made that very clear.
Coach, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes he probably can't sleep, so he might get up even earlier.
And you watch him play.
Maybe he's a great sleeper.
You watch him play yesterday. You watch both teams play yesterday. They're not tanking. They're just terrible. There's a difference. You can see, and we've all seen teams in other sports tank, putting out second-rate lineups and intentionally going out there trying to lose. These teams are not doing that.
They're not.
They're just not very good.
If they finish with the 1-2 pick, I know we've said this before, shortest draft show ever. Welcome to the show, Analysis. See you later. Pick number three coming up next.
That's right. See y'all Monday.
It's like a 20-minute draft show.
Except the Raiders do have the three first-round picks, so
I'm not hanging around for all of it.
They'll probably turn it into five first-rounders by the time it's done.
Contractually, I hang around for one pick, and then that's it. Huh. We do one of each. If you're going to have all these picks, elsewhere.
Bonte,
it's too much. I can't be breaking down everything.
Bonte, he can stick and stay for the after show like last
Bonte
year.
Bonte can get picks 2 and 3.
Perfect.
Bring Townsend in.
Yeah, bring Townsie. It's gonna be interesting. Because,
by the way, enough with the Townsend selfie affair when he's out on the road. You see this stuff?
Oh,
I gotta wake
God.
Up every Sunday. I want to check into Twitter. I went on the social media ban. I love Townsend. Let me make that clear. But I'm on the social media ban, and I decide, all right, Sunday NFL. Let's see if there's any information out there I could use for some bets. First thing I see, Townsend at the Lincoln Memorial. Next thing, Townsend at the Washington Monument, Townsend by the reflecting pond. And it's these selfies where you get like 10% of the monument and 90% of his face.
Oh, yeah.
So it's all him with like a sliver of what might be happening in Washington, D.C.
So he's excited. He never got to travel like this.
It's like Chevy Chase's
you know what I'm saying?
Vacation.
He's never been to D.C. either. He was excited. We saw him on Wednesday. He was in doing the 10 to noon show, I believe.
He's so
and he was fired up. Yeah.
Hella sexy.
So take a picture of the monument. I've seen you.
I know.
Sightseeing Saturday.
He's made it
also,
about-
I don't need to see you here and then see you there. I know that you're there. The implication from the first photo is that you're there.
He's made it about himself, Joe. That's what he's done. I mean,
well, I don't think Abe Lincoln should get a third of the photo and Townsend should get 2/3.
Townsend,
I feel
that
that's,
to know that he's
that's
there.
A bit disproportionate considering the accomplishments of both
Have
men.
I got a tour for you?
Yeah.
He's getting it in.
He's
There's no
in.
Doubt. There's no doubt. Maybe get a selfie stick.
Every Sunday, so I'm waking up to this tour. What's the next road game for the Raiders?
Right.
Super question.
Yeah.
I'd look, but that would require two clicks that I really don't want to do.
I'm not reaching forward.
I mean, the Raiders alone, guys.
So no one, KD and Draymond. Does everyone rank that at the bottom?
I rank it at the bottom just because it's November and they're winning again and everything seems to be.
Win.
Well,
not winning, plural. They got to win over the Kings Saturday night by one.
They're back in the win column. They're ready to roll. 60 wins again. 60 or bust. I know they won't go 41-0 at home, but winning solves everything, Joe. You've called it the ultimate deodorant, and you're right. Draymond's going to be back hopefully Thursday. Steph will be back hopefully Thursday, and then everyone can put this thing behind.
Steph got into an accident over the weekend. You see that on the holidays? He's standing out by the median talking to the police officer. Can we please get him off the road? I don't care what the rules are for the normal people.
No, you got to post for pictures if you're a CHP officer with Steph Curry.
That's not what I'm saying he was doing. He was there taking his information down, but he was in the middle of the median. What road was that?
That was Highway 24, I believe.
It's too dangerous. You got to get him off to the side. Get him into the woods. Protect him. Some lunatic could be driving around the corner. Are we really going to take that risk with the prized possession?
We need to move him back on this side of the tunnel. No more through the tunnel, Steph. That Caldecott can be really dangerous, even with the fourth bore.
Nice uptick there.
Thank you.
Really bringing
it home. Thought I'd try to bring it home. That's a good segment.
As he mentioned, the fact that the Clippers are now on top of the Western Conference. 13-6, something everyone saw coming.
What?
Yeah.
Those Clippers?
Clippers. Those Clippers are on top of the Western Conference. All right. Big final hour in store. Three-time Super Bowl champ Randy Cross on the release of Reuben Foster. Should the 49ers have a little bit more patience?
Gotcha.
Or was this the right move? Brian Baldinger is going to join us at 9:30. Big hour coming up. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
This holiday season, load up on the tech you want with the prices you've been waiting for at Nissan's year-end event. Hurry in for big holiday savings on our entire lineup featuring our most popular models like Altima, J.D. Power's highest-ranked midsize car in initial quality, plus Rogue and the powerful Titan, backed by America's best limited truck warranty. Shop your local Nissan store and choose Nissan.com today.
For a limited time, get a low $199 per month lease on the 2018 Nissan Rogue.
But hurry, this event ends soon. Now the most exciting tech you own is in your driveway.